Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. All right, commuters in Miami, brace yourself. A massive four-year reconstruction project just kicked off, and your daily commute will likely change dramatically. By fall 2023, we should expect to see a double-decker freeway on the 836 and 30 acres of urban parkland and an iconic six-arch suspension bridge in downtown. A lot. Miami Herald columnist Linda Robertson calls this the mother of all construction projects, and she's joining us now from our studios at the Miami Herald in Doral. Linda, welcome.
Hi, Oscar.
Also joining us in the studio is Oscar Gonzalez, a senior community outreach specialist with the Florida Department of Transportation. He's overseeing the I-395 and I-95 and State Road 836 interchange. Again, a big project ahead of us. Oscar Gonzalez, also a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
All right. So, Oscar, Linda, it's a pleasure to have you. And I want to post this out to the listener. If you commute through this area, what questions do you have about how much your life is about to change? What do you want to know about the construction project and the fact that, again, that it's going to take a number of years and how that may impact your daily commute? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. Again, that's 800-743-9576. Or find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial and post your question there, and I will read those off to our guests. Oscar, let's start with you. Why redesign a major freeway going into the city, in and out of the city right now? What's the need?
Well, the Florida Department of Transportation and partnership with the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority is investing over $800 million to improve and enhance the flow of traffic and access along three of the major corridors in the county right now. As you mentioned, 836, I-95, and the 395 corridor. So there are improvements that can be made. One of them that I'm sure the listeners can commiserate with me is on my way here, I was traveling eastbound on 836. And although I was going straight through onto I-395, I still had to slow down because of all the people queued up to go from that eastbound 836 ramp to I-95 northbound.
Oh, yeah.
So not only is the ramp backed up, but sometimes people wait to the very last minute on the two through lanes that are adjacent to that ramp lane to get in at the very last moment. So with this project, one of the improvements that we're going to make is we're going to double lane that ramp.
Okay, and I know that one well. I've come from both different sides. Actually, all three sides to get into downtown is the best way to get here to the studios. The construction's already underway? The project's
This is a design-build project. So technically, we're still in the design process. So maintenance of traffic plans, scheduling are still being developed. They're still being reviewed. They haven't been 100% finalized. So yes, so you are seeing some activity right now. Linda mentioned that we have closures on I-95. Those closures are for the survey crews to go out there and survey the roadway. You may have seen this already, the pile operations that are going on 395. Those are not permanent piles. Those are what we call exploratory test piles. And basically what the contractor is doing there, he's driving those piles that have sensors attached to them. And they're getting feedback from those sensors. And that's going to allow them to further develop the plans for those foundations along those bridges.
So, Linda, in your story, you call it the mother of all construction projects, which doesn't make anybody feel any better about what's coming. But, I mean, what have you heard from readers about, you know, what's about to happen?
Well, Luis, I think we're all sort of hardened veterans in South Florida of perpetual construction projects. But this one is going to be different because it impacts so many different hubs in the downtown area, in the Civic Center, Jackson Memorial Hospital area, Miami Beach, you know, people who use 836, people who use the MacArthur Causeway, people who are trying to get downtown there to the arena or the Science Museum, the Art Museum, the Arch Center. So I think it's going to have a huge impact on our driving patterns. And I think the key is to maybe adopt some sort of mantra that you can rely upon when you're in your car and you're going to be facing a lot of backups.
I mean, I laugh because, I mean, yes, I know. If you've been here long enough, you've lived here long enough, you already know what it's like. And so this is coming. And, you know, the other thing, too, I was thinking about was, and we were talking about it here in the office, is, you know, any of us who've lived in other cities that have been through this. And I've seen this in other places. And whenever they have these big construction projects, they always give it a nickname. And it's something ominous. Which is, it's great for the news when they talk about it every day. I think that the best one I ever heard was the T-Rex. You know, there was a project out in the West Coast. It was called the T-Rex, and it was just going to be this multi-year big project. And, you know, it was just meant to scare everybody. Like, okay, you're stressed out. It's because it's the T-Rex. But have you seen anything else like this? Is it really the mother of all construction projects?
Well, you know, in Boston, they had the Big Dig.
Right.
So that was a good nickname. I don't know what we could call this one. Maybe the spider. But yeah, I think other cities, when they've made the commitment to do one of these major reconstruction, redesign, rearrangements, you know, everybody takes a deep breath and then prepares for it. And a lot of it is the logistics of how they're going to coordinate the various closures, the timing of everything. And I think people just learn. They get wise to the best ways to go to avoid the backups, and maybe it will encourage more people to use mass transit during this period, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's a good question. So again, I'm going to pose this question. If you have a question for our guests, you want to know more about the project, what it entails, how long it's going to take, anything at all. I also want to know from you is if, you know, this is going to change the way you commute to work. Maybe you'll consider train more. Maybe you'll change your daily commute and try to find an alternate route. 800-743-9576. Let me go to Renee in Miami Lakes. Renee, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. So I have a question regarding the possibility of tolls, of additional tolls, or the tolls that we do have. Is money going to be allocated for these projects, and what are the other impacts regarding other projects along like 826 on the north, east to west, and north to south?
Right. Okay. All right. So thank you, Renee, for the call. Appreciate it. Okay. A couple things there, but let's start with his first question about tolls. Oscar, you know, first of all, I mean, the cost, $800 million, you know, some people say, well, why are we spending the money for that? We could be putting it towards public transit. But I mean, where was the money coming from for this project?
Well, $616 million is coming from the Florida Department of Transportation and our partners, the MDX, Miami-Dade Expressway Authority, that you know oversees.
Right.
836 is one of their five tolled highways, is putting in $186 million towards the project.
So he's talking about tolls. The other aspect, I'd imagine, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I'm also curious, too, is the, you know, will the tolls extend? Will they be shut down during this construction? Or, you know, what can we expect?
The 836 is currently a tolled facility.
Right.
It will continue to be a tolled facility. There are not going to be any tolls placed on 395 or any tolls placed on any of the work that's.
Okay. Do we know anything? Will any of these tolls be increased that are on the 836 to help?
I don't know that.
Okay.
That would be something MDX.
Again, 800-743-9576. What do you want to ask about this upcoming project, this construction project, and how is it going to impact your life? Oscar, one of the marquee aspects of this project is the six-arched suspension bridge. It looks really beautiful, but tell us about that. What exactly is that? Why do we need it?
It's beautiful, and it was a part of the negotiations with the city of Miami. They wanted something that was transformational. So we are delivering a transformational, iconic structure. It is not, let's say, a fake bridge. It is actually a structural bridge with the six arches, as you mentioned. The span on the bridge is 1,025 feet. It will actually span over Northeast 2nd Avenue. All the way through Biscayne Boulevard. The tallest arch is 330 feet up in the air.
So all of this construction, by the way, it's not just to help flow, the flow of traffic, you know, to improve it, but are we expanding lanes? Are we preparing for more cars?
We're adding capacity, yes, on 395, 836. typical section on 836 right now is three lanes in each direction. So as part of this project, we're going to double deck 836 from 17th Avenue all the way over the I-95 interchange, touching down at 395. So right now, the folks that want to go straight through to the MacArthur Causeway are in the same facility that people with the people that want to exit on local roads or I-95. We already spoke about the issue with the ramps backing up into the through lanes. So when we're done with this project, those people that want to go into the MacArthur Causeway to Miami Beach, the Port Miami area, they're going to be able to take that double deck section and either go straight through into the MacArthur Causeway without any of that local traffic, or go south into downtown Miami. Those people that want to access the local roads will stay on the lower level, and they can access the local roads, I-95, or actually continue on through to the MacArthur.
We're talking with Oscar Gonzalez, a spokesperson for the Florida Department of Transportation. Also, Linda Robertson, columnist for the Miami Herald, who recently wrote about this massive highway reconstruction project that is going to begin in downtown Miami. And it is a multi-year project, at least 4 years, $800 million. It's going to have a massive impact on your daily commute. Let me go back to the phones. I want to go to, it is, I believe, Jack in Keith Largo, talking about long-distance travel. Jack, welcome to the program. Jack, are we there? Do we have Jack in Key Largo?
Yes, I am here.
Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry about that.
Yes. I live in Key Largo, and I need to get up to Jackson Memorial Hospital on a regular basis, which requires that I go out on 836. And I was wondering if the municipality is going to post a website to inform the public about the details of the plan, and perhaps most importantly, advise the public alternative routes. For example, when I get off of the turnpike, is there going to be a more efficient way to get to my destination in the hospital district?
All right, let me throw that to Oscar. Oscar, what can you answer for that question?
Thank you, Jack. That's an excellent question. The project, we have a project website, i-395miami.com. All the lane closures will be posted on that site. But in addition to that, if you are a regular traveler along any of these three corridors and want to be kept up to date with up-to-minute information, on the website you can sign up for email alerts. And every time there's a closure or a new construction activity, we will be sending that information out to subscribers in the email alerts. In addition to that, let me just say something about the maintenance of traffic. We are doing closures for this project, obviously.
Yes, you have to.
But they're going to be done during off-peak hours. They're going to be coordinated. And we're going to do everything possible to minimize impacts to the traveling public. In addition to that, part of the maintenance of traffic plan is to implement a smart work zone management system. And basically, this is an intelligent transportation system that's composed of traffic cameras, traffic monitoring devices, and portable changeable message signs. These devices are going to be placed well outside of the project limits, and they will be providing drivers feedback so that they can make decisions before actually entering the project corridor.
Linda, you know, ever since you published the piece, I'm wondering what readers have been saying to you. What is the biggest concern for them, or what have they been asking?
I think people are asking sort of the big picture question. I mean, we all know that this is going to be painful, but people are just sort of, now that it's upon us, they're asking, is this really the best use of this $800 million? I know that's simplifying the funding questions, but if you look at what other cities are doing around the world, including Seoul, South Korea, Paris, Seattle now is tearing down one of their major urban highways. San Francisco, after the earthquake, decided to, instead of rebuilding, they got rid of some major urban roadways, and it opened up that whole Embarcadero waterfront area, and it became just sort of a whole urban renewal there. So a lot of people are wondering, like, why are we adding lanes and adding roadway when we know that's going to induce traffic, you know, by the time the project is done, there's going to be more people living here and there's going to be more cars. And then expanding highways, it's been shown over and over again, induces more traffic. And so there's been proposals over the years to just take 395 down. There's been proposals to bury it or to make a tunnel, you know, to relieve Overtown from that horrible suffocating effect of the overpass. So I've heard from a lot of readers who are really questioning if this is the right way to go. I mean, it's kind of too late now to reverse course, but should we have spent that money, you know, extending Metrorail to Miami Beach or improving our other mass transit options? Instead, we're investing in more roadway expansion because Florida Department of Transportation is all about traffic flow and traffic capacity.
Yeah, and again, this we're talking about this big construction project that's coming to Miami, again, impacting I-95, the 836, and I-395. It is a multi-year project, and it is going to impact our commute for the next 4 or 5 years. We heard on Twitter, Lorraine Dowdy tweeted at us, since 1977, not one roadway construction project has improved traffic congestion. It is time for better public transit, more Metrorail. Also, Joe Hatzel commented on our Facebook and suggested a nickname for the project. Maybe call it the Spiderweb. Again, find us on Twitter or Facebook at WLRN Sun, the Spiderweb, yeah, on WLRN Sundial, and let us know your thoughts. Let me go to back to the phones. I'm going to go now to Dean in Miami. Dean, welcome to the program.
Hey there, and my question just dovetails into what was just said. In Miami, we have the wrong mentality. We always have the mentality to expand roads. We have no mentality to even maintain the pathetic mass transit system we have. We have hundreds of millions of dollars to build roads, and we can't maintain our existing mass transit system. That's not a world-class city.
Dean, thank you so much. We hear that a lot. We hear that sentiment a lot. But okay, Carlos, you know, one of the things you said is that part of this construction, we're going to see a double-decker roadway on the 836, Oscar. And so, you know, we were talking about this and thinking to ourselves, wait a second, what, how, you know, are we going to see that more often in Miami now, this construction, this idea of a double-decker road or more just to be able to fit all the people that are coming here, all the commuters that we have?
Well, let me just address the transit issue. Obviously, there is an issue with traffic. A lot of people are moving into. This is a great look at our weather today. Beautiful area. The traffic problem is not a one solution. Does not have one solution. So while we're working on improving roads that need to be improved, we're also working on transit options. The county and the Department of Transportation are working on the SMART plan. We have been in coordination with the folks that are working on the beach corridor to tie in some kind of transit system into the beach. So everything is on the table here, and everything is being looked at.
Do you think that's where we're going, though? Double-decker lanes?
In this particular case, this is a design build. So the RFP concepts had actually the road being widened, 836 being widened to the outside. So one of the positive aspects of design builds, it fosters innovation. So this team, the Archer Western Des Moines joint venture, came up with this double-decker concept, and it actually reduces the construction impacts because you're not going outside of the right of way.
You're not
widening. You're going up. And yes, I think based on you know, right of way acquisition cost and things like that, this is something that could be done in the future.
Let me go to Carlos in Miami Beach. Carlos, thank you so much. Welcome to the program.
You know, I wanted to thank all you guys involved for helping us be informed about this, because I think it helps a little with the future frustration if you know what's actually going on a little bit. And my question was actually about the 195, which I know you haven't really mentioned, but I drive in and out of the beach every day on the 195 on Julia Tuttle, and I could swear I noticed the water creeping closer a little bit. And I just was curious if there was any talk or future plans about maybe, I don't know, some kind of seawall or any kind of anything that would be happening along those lines.
All right. So, thank you, Carlos, so much. And yeah, that, it's the reason we have the conversation, because you do have to get ready for what is coming. But this goes to sustainability, I suppose. Linda, I mean, with all of this construction that's in the area, I mean, we always talk about the issues of sea level rise here in Miami and how that's going to impact. Does this kind of prepare us for that future? Is there talk about anything else in the area dealing with that?
Well, I think that's a, you know, that's a whole nother issue, is our impending sea rise problems. But yet we continue to build. So I would argue that, you know, some of this energy and funding should be devoted to planning for sea rise. We know it's coming. Instead of, you know, just throwing more money at expansion of our roadways, which is it's going to be impacted one way or the other by climate change.
Linda, one other thing I wanted to ask you, moving just to a different topic real quickly, is that is this expected to improve, you know, the commute? No, I shouldn't say commute. Is this going to make things better for pedestrians, especially in Overtown? Because, you know, I mean, historically, I-95 split the town. Is this going to improve things for pedestrians coming in and out of the communities?
I think the idea, the plan, is pretty dramatic and impressive in what they want to try to rescue Overtown from the way that it was really just sliced through by these low overpasses. And there's like 440 concrete columns. And it just really devastated Overtown. And created sort of a wasteland around 395 and below 395, to the point where, you know, recently they had a crisis with homeless people and opioid addicts living under there. So the goal is to, it's going to be a higher elevation to the overpass, and it's going to be split into these elevated overpasses to let more light and sunlight in there. And then they're going to create an urban park with a pathway, a mile-long pathway that's supposed to run all the way to the waterfront, which would give more people access to the waterfront. They're going to have some plazas, gardens, fountains, you know, musical areas, sculptures. So the idea is to sort of revive that whole sort of dead area and make it into a community gathering place, and also the idea is to connect some of the Performing Arts Center, the Science Museum, the Arch Center, the waterfront, and make those a little bit more connected, whereas now you have these horrible embankments and columns and ramps that just that should be a beautiful part of downtown, and it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, no, and again, anybody who's who's taken that that commute, and I will be the first to say, coming from Kendall, I've either taken from the 836, come due from west to east, and so I have to exit off of that area coming into the station, which is right there on near Biscayne and 15th, or I'm coming up 95. So either way, and Oscar, as you said, I know those exits when you're jumping on and off I-95. They'll take two or three lanes just to pack into that one exit. Oscar, the other thing too is, let's just come back to the big picture. I wanted to know, tell the commuter right now as they're listening, what to expect over the next 4 years. Will it get so bad that they have to consider another route, leaving earlier, or maybe taking the train? Is it going to be that bad?
I think, like I said, we're going to maintain the traffic. And we're going to do our closures during off-peak hours. Right now, we're limited to closures on I-95 for the work that we're doing for surveying. In February, we will start making closures on I-95 between 17th and 29th Street for work in the median. And there'll be other nighttime activities. Come March, April, we'll be implementing some closures. We'll be closing a section of Northwest 12th Street between Biscayne Boulevard and Northeast 2nd Avenue that will be permanently closed. We'll be rerouting traffic through 13th Street. We're going to add an additional lane on that section of 13th Street to accommodate the traffic. This may be something that you'll see. And the reason for this is because the foundations of the Signature Bridge are going to be in the area where Northwest 12th Street is right now.
It's still going to impact people. They just have to be ready.
Yeah, we have to be ready. And the key is outreach is an extremely critical part of this project. We have the project website. People can sign up for alerts. They can go to the project website. And in addition to that, we're willing to come out to the community. We have been doing so, make presentations to organizations. Those organizations can sign up for presentations on the website. And, you know, we'll be working with the media to get the word out.
The information will be out there, but prepare yourself. It is coming. It is what it is. This is life in the big city as we try to make things better. Oscar Gonzalez, again, spokesperson for the Florida Department of Transportation. We heard from Linda Robertson, columnist for the Miami Herald. Linda, Oscar, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Luis.
And again, you can always find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Let us know what you think. And if you have any other questions, you know what? I'll pass those questions back over to Oscar or to Linda or anybody who might be able to answer them as you get ready for the next 4 years and what's coming. All right, still to come, the latest crime reports show in Miami, crime rates are down. How is that happening? Well, we're going to talk with the Miami Police Chief about those latest figures coming up next here on Sundial.